greatness and nobody watches me, I will not be disappointed. But we thank you all for coming on this Sunday morning right after Christmas, and we really appreciate it here. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Philippians chapter 4. Linda's going to come up and read Philippians and then go over to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Thank you, Linda. And I better figure out how to turn this on because I am not using it. And Daryl usually has to do it for me. Is that the button? Hi. Where's the button? I never know where the button is on this.
Just there.
All righty. Sorry.
Good morning. I'm Linda, and I'm reading two passages this morning. The first one is Philippians 4, verses 10 to 13. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. The second Bible passage is from 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10. Because of these surpassingly great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults and hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Thank you. Lynn. Guys, today I want to talk about how do we deal with the hardships of life. All for a couple weeks, knowing that I was going to be speaking this Sunday, I was studying and going down a road that I wanted to do, but for some reason, last week, the Lord just kind of changed my thoughts and my minds, and I thought I would share with you, how do we deal with the hardships of life? And we're going to be looking at, and I know I'm supposed to turn this on, okay. It did work earlier. There we go. We're going to be looking today at the circumstances of Joseph's life. Be looking at a couple of lessons the Apostle Paul had to learn. And then look at what we need to know. When we come talking about the hardships of life, what do we need to know? And then look at where we can find some help. So I got to ask the question, have I ever had hardships? And this is a year, you know, everybody would say COVID has kind of made life difficult. Many, as you know, we were in the U.S., and it wasn't that bad. You know, their numbers may be spiking now, but we were able to go out and go grocery shopping. We were able to get toilet paper. You know, it never was that bad. You probably had, you know, talking with Jeremiah, there was times where there was less food in the store, you know, some staples. We never had that. In fact, ham. We bought a half a ham for $4. It was and turkey was cheap. So we kind of enjoyed some of the things that are expensive over here. But I didn't get to see my family. One of my sisters had COVID, but even our time in quarantine wasn't that bad. But yes, in my life, I have had hardship. My mother left, walked out on my dad and three sisters and my brother when I was 9. I was the youngest of the family and didn't quite understand why. My father was murdered when I was 11, so my mom had to move back in. I got saved at the age of 20, and at that time in my life, my uncle, I lived with him on the weekends and during the American summers. He was the man in my life. Well, my salvation really stressed him out. Because I always went to Sunday school, but now I started going to Sunday school, to church, Sunday night church, Wednesday night church, Friday night Bible study, Saturday night youth group, and he literally thought I was in a cult. During those times, the Moonies, Sung Young Moon from Korea, was big in New York City. Through the stress of my salvation and my aunt's health, he died of a heart attack. I went off to Bible college and wanted to go full time and serve the Lord overseas. None of my family or Linda's family fully understood that. Seeing my brother and my sister die without knowing Christ as their Savior, had a brain tumor. It was benign. Most brain tumors aren't benign. There was a period of time there, where was it going to be, was I going to live? Was I going to die? And then, of course, all Linda's pain and agony. There's been some hardships in our lives. But, God has never promised us an easy life. Christians. In fact, he tells us in the Gospel of John that the world's going to hate us. In John 15, the end of verse 19, I chose you out of the world, and because of this, the world hates you. You and I, you who know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the world hates us. In John 16, it says, in the world, you will have tribulations, but take courage. I have overcome the world. John 15, verse 20, the world will persecute us. They persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Can you imagine, trying to hire people to take on a new position, but you say, listen, take on this job, I want you to know the world's going to hate you, you're going to have a lot of troubles and tribulations, and you're going to be persecuted. Well, that's the call of the Christian. Life isn't meant to be easy for us here. We could list what the apostles went through. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says this. He says, I think that God has displayed us, the apostles. These were the men who were the founding fathers of the church, the apostles. Last of all, men condemned to death, for we have been made a spectacle to the world. To this present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed. We are beaten and homeless. We labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. Having been made as the filth of the world, the offscourging of all the things until now. The apostles, their life was not easy. So why should we expect something different? God never promised us a rose garden, as the song goes. In fact, he has told us the opposite. We will have problems. We will have trials, heartache, and sadness, but they are good for us. Let me say that again. We will have problems and trials, heartache, and sadness, but all of these things are good for us. Sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it? Well, what we want to look at today is how do we deal with the hardships of life. So what I want to do real quickly is look at the circumstances of, I don't know how Daryl reads that TV back there. So I'm hoping what goes up there is what I'm clicking here, because I really can't see that one. But anyway, how do we deal with the hardships of life? Well, we want to look at the circumstances of Joseph's life. Joseph came from a dysfunctional home. His father had to leave home after deceiving his father. So Jacob left home after he deceived his brother, his father Isaac, pretending to be Esau. His father had four wives, and his father had to work for a crooked father-in-law. And Joseph was growing up in this. Joseph was his father's favorite. Now, Phil has no favorites, right? You can't have favorites when you got more than one grandchild. But Jacob had a favorite. It was Joseph. And Joseph got that coat of many colors. And it wasn't just a beautiful coat. It was also a sign that you're going to get the blessings of the firstborn. And so basically what they would do, whatever Jacob had left when he died, it would be split in half. Joseph would get half. The other 11 brothers would get, you know, 1/11 of the what was left. And his brothers knew that. Joseph was hated by his brothers. One, because he was dad's favorite, but Joseph was also young and a little cocky, and God started using him. And as God was using him, he was getting dreams. But he kind of was a little bit boastful, you know. Can you imagine your younger brother? I was a younger brother. I was a baby of the family. But can you imagine the younger brother coming up and saying, hey, someday you're going to have to bow down to me. And then he actually tells his dad and his brothers the second dream, you are going to have to bow down to me. So because of that, he's hated by his brothers. And we all know the story. I may be ahead of myself. Brothers planned to kill him, cast him into a pit, but ended up selling him as a slave. And in slavery, where did he end up at? Egypt. In Egypt, then. Potiphar's house, probably started off as the youngest slave, but it's interesting. In Potiphar's house is the first time that we read that the Lord was with him. And because the Lord was with him, he became very successful in Potiphar's house. I believe he started off, you know, as the lowest slave, but worked his way up to being the chief servant. And it even tells us that at this time, Potiphar didn't even know much about his house because it was all under Joseph. Of course, you know the story. Potiphar's wife got involved, and Joseph is going to choose God over Potiphar's wife. Of course, she cries rape. What happens to him again? Cast into prison. And of course, we know in prison, there he ends up being the chief prisoner. But again, we read something, that the Lord was with Joseph in chapter 39, verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Why was the Lord with him? I don't know. But I wonder, was Joseph beginning to see what God was doing in his life? Did he start to understand how to handle these hardships? Where along the line did this come? I don't know. And you know the story. Joseph ended up becoming the prime minister of Egypt. Even then, did he know? Maybe it wasn't until his brothers came to him. And we lost everything now. That's alrighty. Maybe it's when his brothers came down to him. And his brothers didn't know who he was, but he knew who they were. And you know the story, how he ended up keeping one of the brothers, and they had to go back home and tell Jacob, you know, that, hey, they kept them. Benjamin has to come down, and Jacob's all upset and goes back and forth. And finally, the whole family comes down to Egypt, Jacob and himself. But Jacob is going to die. And I did all this to get to this point. Chapter 50. Let me read verses 19 to 21. Jacob has died. They've just taken him back and buried him with Abraham. And now his brothers come to him and they're a little fearful. And Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant it for evil against me. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What did they mean for evil? All the hardships that they caused Jacob to go through. They wanted to kill him. They hated him. The battles of life. But what did God do with it? He meant it for good. It's often easy when we look at Scripture because we know the end of the story. But you don't know the end of the story of your life. The hardships that you're going through, you don't know what God is going to be doing. Well, somewhere and somehow, Joseph learned the secret of handling the trials. I don't know. Was it in the pit? Was it at Potiphar's house? Was it in the prison? Or was it, the aha moment when the brothers came? But he learned the secret and he saw God's hand in everything that happened to him. Did he ever fight God's working in his life? We're not told. When did he learn how to handle the hardships? We're not told. Did he ever try to teach his brothers? I think so. So again, going on, looking at Jacob or Joseph, we now want to go to the New Testament. We want to look at the Apostle Paul. Paul had some lessons he needed to learn. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12, Paul had to learn to be content. I'll read these verses again. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard of need, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the word learn, the two different English words for learn are two different Greek words there. The first one in verse 11, it means to learn by use and practice. You know, there's two ways to learn something. You can learn by experience, or you can learn by somebody else's experience. And some things you can only learn by experience. Paul learned the hardships of life by experience. He learned by use and practice. The second word learned has the idea to give one an intimate acquaintance with a thing. So not only did he learn it, but he experienced hardships. Okay. Well, Paul had to learn to be content. This is what he learned. Again, highlighted in the verse there should be the line. In whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. The word content, the English word, means desiring no more than what one has, being satisfied. It means mentally or emotionally satisfied with the things as they are. You know, we had the phrase, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. It goes on to mean assenting to or willing to accept the circumstances. Paul had to learn to be content. I'm often amazed at the way God does things. He sent the Pharisee to be the witness to the Gentiles, the educated man, right? Then he took Peter, the fisherman, and sent him to the Jewish people. I love how God does things. But Paul had to learn to be content. Well, what did he learn to be content with? Well, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. So Paul learned the highs and the lows, even in the city of Philippi. He started off in Lydia's house, a businesswoman, you know, probably on the right side of town. His last night in town was in the dungeon. He knows how to abound. He knew how to abase. He knew how to be full and to be hungry. Do you know there was times in the Apostle Paul's life when God chose not to give him food? Now think about that. I've never been hungry and happy at the same time. I don't think I've ever really been hungry. But God chose, for some reason or another, not to provide the daily bread for the Apostle Paul. And Paul had to learn to be content with the God that chose not to provide. And he learned how to abound and to suffer need. And how could he learn to be content? Well, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But something else Paul had to learn. He had to learn to depend upon the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul is defending his character. In Corinthians, he's writing to correct some things that they were doing wrong as a church. And now they were complaining about his apostleship and who he was. And so he's going to now to defend himself. And he's going to get to talking about something in his life that he says, you know, to boast about it is really not wise, but I'm going to tell you about it anyway. And so in verses 7 through 10, he's going to tell us the reason for his trials. Paul was going through some conflicts. And Paul's being used of God. And in verse 7, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there has been given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me and to keep me from exalting myself. But you see that because of the greatness of the revelations, because God was revealing things to him, God decided he needed to keep him humble. He was a Pharisee. All his life, from the age of 13 when he was starting to be educated, all his life he was taught how to be proud and excited. You know about the Pharisees. They were very boastful people. Well, God needed to keep him humble, so he gave him a physical problem, a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it is, but we know Paul's request in verse 8. Concerning this thing, I implored the Lord three times that it may leave me. Now, Paul was able to heal people. Paul raised Eutychus, the guy who fell out of the window, from the dead. He could do miracles, but he couldn't heal himself. So he goes to the Lord on three different occasions saying, Lord, please remove this thorn in the flesh. And God said no. The word of the Lord, no. Verse 9a, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. What did the Lord give Paul? Well, he didn't heal him, whatever the problem was, but he gave him the ability to handle the hardships of life. Gave him the ability. You know, I can imagine. You know, it was Sunday morning. He had to go teach the Word of God. Did he feel like it? No. Did his body hurt? Was it his eyesight? Was it headaches? What was it? But Paul still had to get up, even though he didn't feel like it, and minister and to teach. Despite the problems of pain, Paul had to get on with life. So Paul's outlook on life then. Paul's outlook on life was his dependence upon God in verse 9b. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell upon me. He learned that, hey, I cannot do it, but God can do it through me. He didn't feel like it, but he got up. And I love how verse 10a says, his outlook on life is being well contented with, satisfied with. He says, therefore, I am well contented with weaknesses, insults, distress, persecutions, difficulties, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I love how it says, well contented. I don't think he enjoyed it, but he realized that he did not have the ability. And so therefore, if you're going to, his weakness, if he's going to be insulted with distresses or pressure or persecutions, difficulties, he went on with life. Because when they came, he knew that he could not bear them. But because of the grace of God upon his life, he could bear them. Well, why was Paul contented with God's answer? Verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul realized he had to continue on with life. And so therefore, he got up and he continued. I've been trying to look for my notes where I kind of wrote something down. You know, it is there. I'll wait till I get to there. Okay. So what do we need to know? We know about Joseph, what he did, but you know, he's a great man of God. We know about Paul. He's an apostle. So what do we do? How do we get through the hardships that's going to come our way? And maybe you're going through hardships right now. So what do you do? Well, a couple things. You got to know that God is in control. I want to talk about Habakkuk. Daryl went through the minor prophets, and I've shared on Habakkuk before. Habakkuk was a godly minor prophet during the days of Josiah, the last revival of Israel before they're going to go into captivity. King Josiah was the one who found the word of God. And he was the king who said, you will worship God. And there was revival in the land. But in world history, Babylon is becoming a strong power. And Egypt comes through the land and actually tells Josiah, I don't want to fight you. God told me not to fight you. But for some reason, Josiah goes and he fights him. And he dies in this battle. And Egypt goes up, joins Assyria. They fight against Babylon and they lose. And Israel becomes a vassal state for a little bit of Egypt, and life went downhill spiritually in the land of Israel. And Habakkuk, I think he grew up under this time of revival, but now he's old and the world is falling apart. And he comes to God and he says, God, what are you doing? And God's going to answer him, and he's not going to like the answer. God says, I'm going to use the Babylonians. And then he comes to God, and I love chapter 2 where he says, I am going to stand here. And I think he pounds his foot. I'm going to stand here until you tell me what's going on. And God answers him, and he uses this phrase. He says, the just shall live by faith. You, Habakkuk, are righteous. You got to trust me. Now, we know what's going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar's going to come in and take them captive and eventually destroy Jerusalem. And we know all that. Habakkuk didn't. And in this course, God looks at him and he says in verse 20, But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. He's saying, I am God, Habakkuk, and you're not. And then you get to chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Habakkuk learned that as a just, he had to live by faith. He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor there be fruit on the vines, so the labor of the olives may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We don't know what happened to Habakkuk. Was he taken captive with Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Did he go with Ezekiel? Or did he go through the sieges? You know what happens in a siege? You're surrounded too. There's no food. We don't know what happened to him. Maybe he was killed in an early battle. But his outlook on life was, no matter what happened, whether there be no food, whether he's locked in the walls of Jerusalem or not, whether there be no food, what will he do? I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. He learned that God was in control. Well, in control too. The Apostle Paul, verses that you all know well, but verses that people quote to you, quote to us. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. I've heard those verses many, many times quoted to Linda and I. And I know them. I believe those verses. That all things, that God causes all things to work together for good. But not everything that happens in our lives are good. And often we come and we want to ask that question, why? I don't know if Job ever understood why. You know, Job lost his 10 kids. Who cares about money? His 10 kids were killed. And then his health. Did he ever understand why? Maybe when God spoke to him at the end. But we never know. We know the story. We know why it happened. Abraham got up and he left, going to be the father of many nations. And there he is, having to take his only son. And the knife got 18 inches away. David. You know, David was called to be king and had to flee for his life for 10 years or so. Linda and I, we don't know the whys. Why did God let sin into the world? We don't know. But what do we do know? What do I do know? I know that God loves us. I know that God cares for us. And I know that he wants the best for us. Even if the best for us means we got to go through hardships, I trust him. So guys, where do we go to for help? Well, the Word of God. And many verses I could share with you, but Psalm 27, verse 12 and 13 says, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and of and let your heart take courage. Yes, I say wait on the Lord. And I got a bunch of other verses, but this is our go-to verse. New American Standard says, I would have despaired unless I believed in the promises in this book. Every year, I look for a verse with the word trust in it. I've been doing it for 10, 15 years. I don't know what it is yet. Lord willing, you know, before the first, I'll know what next year's verse is. But there's times despair would have come in life if you allowed it. But I've had to learn. We've had to learn to trust God. And you got to be in his word. And not just on Sunday mornings. Guys, you need to know his word so the Lord can direct you to it when you need it. gotta be. I remember as a young Christian, there was a gentleman who would always talk about the book of Psalms, and I didn't quite understand it. But as an older Christian, I've learned to appreciate the book of Psalms. And there's a lot of comfort in there. Well, prayer. Prayer. You know, God is not going to heal every person. And with Linda and I, we often run into people and they hear about her health problems and they say, can I pray for your healing? I don't pray for Linda's healing. In fact, I don't know if we want to be healed. Now, I do pray for God's grace. You know, and you know, Linda, pain's been getting worse lately. But the grace of God comes in. You know, we often say this, we would not have chosen this path of life, but nor would we want to change it. Just recently, she was at a doctor's, and this doctor said to her, you know, an unsaved doctor, religious but unsaved, he says, you know, you're one of the kindest people I know. You know, if she didn't have her health problems, she wouldn't see him. And he wouldn't be able to know that. And maybe, just maybe, he'll eventually come to know Christ because of Linda's pain. Now, but you need to pray. You need to pray for grace. You need to ask the Lord to strengthen you to get through this. And you need to dive into the Word of God. Guys, another thing, you need trusted friends. When you're going through hard times, you need to be able to talk to people, support groups. And you need to be able to say, guys, I actually hurt. I've learned early to read people's faces when they ask, how is Linda? You learned how to give the quick answer and the long answer. Yeah. Well, you need groups. Christian literature. Guys, there's all kinds of great books out there. I have a list of them here if you want to talk about it. Guys, but so, in conclusion, how do you handle the hardships of life? Know that God's in control and trust Him with your life. You'll never fully understand it, but know that He is in control and He has your best in His hands. So trust Him with your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. Father, we would ask that as we end this chaotic year, Father, that we would continue to realize that You are in control of all these events. The COVID virus has not surprised You. Father, and help us to trust You, Lord, even though we don't fully understand what's happening in this world and what's happening in our lives. Thank You for Your Word and the power of prayer. For our friends, Lord, and for those who have written many, many things, their experiences in life, and we can learn from them. Father, may 2021 be a year where we'll say, God has done it. We ask this all in Your name. Amen. And the music team is going to come on up and